Oh, a lot to catch up on via the WhatsApp line on 0725671567. We'll find the time. You can also call, and then we'll prioritize your call on 0214460567. We're going to talk Bellable. We've been trying to stay on top of it. We felt it very important, and I am passionate about education. So the latest Bellable amendments hand power back to SGBs to decide language policies. And my instinct is that that is an important achievement. Vanessa Leroux, Parents for an Equal Education. Are we on the same page?
Good morning, Clarence, and good morning to your listeners. Ek is 'n happy meisie vir oggend.
So jy is 'n happy meisie, ons is op dieselfde bly.
No, we definitely on the same page. I always say, Parliament in itself, the committee, the portfolio committee, they never listen to the people. They pretend to listen to the people. And if we take the Bella Bill in a whole, I personally think the democracy was under threat. There was nothing wrong with SGBs making decisions on behalf of the schools and the communities.
Yeah.
Why meddle with something that works? What I always said is, SGBs, and especially in poorer communities, they need more training. They need more. They need to know exactly what their roles and responsibilities is.
Yeah, they got to function within the Constitution.
Within the law, they must know about policies, the laws, everything, the schools, everything. If that can happen, we will have functional schools. We will have schools that, where everyone knows what their role is. For instance, if I always say HODs is disguised politicians. And once we take the power out of the community, we are in trouble. You can go and look at the especially in the Western Cape, is the only province that have this, the collaboration schools. You know how many rights are being violated in that schools? For instance, teachers can't belong to a union. There's no privileges. There's no nothing. It's NGOs and trusts and stuff like that that operate that schools. Yeah. However, it's being built with taxpayers' money.
Let's talk about, let's go on just to some of the other changes. We are under pressure just time-wise, and I want to get your thoughts on all matters. The changes also broaden the definition of corporal punishment to include belittling and humiliating learners. Again, my instinct is okay with those changes. How do you sit with that change? Corporal punishment to include belittling and humiliating learners.
I'm all for that. Especially this week, I was contacted by a mother, a grade 12 learner. That mother cried. If I can just show parents what happened at the school, where a principal belittled a grade 12 child to the point where she actually said to him that he's useless, he will amount to nothing, and that,
oi,
you know, open meeting.
Oi.
That mother was so heartbroken. So I'm truly for it. Principals need, they want, I think there's a confusion between being strict and humiliating a child. And what principals doing at this point, and many teachers also, and let me just state, not all, because we have great teachers and principals in our schools, but there is those that goes to school with the immaturity of thinking they can do and say as they please. And I always say, a wound, a physical wound might heal, a mental wound, we will never know how much a child can take. And this is to the point where this child actually said he doesn't want to live anymore.
I hear what you say.
This must include that in terms of corporal punishment.
Vanessa Leroux is with Parents for Equal Education. Now, if we are in agreement, instinctively we're resonating with the changes, we're saying that's good. We need to just look at the efficacy of SGBs, school governing bodies. And I would again assume that Better Resource School would be well represented in terms of skills on school governing bodies. And again, poorer schools may not have that kind of representation. How do we bolster poorer schools to get those kind of skills on board there?
Knowledge. And I always say to schools, that is the difference between your former Model C schools and your under-resourced schools. Because the principals, in many cases, these people are on power trips. They think they owe these schools. They think they are representatives of the WCD or any education department. They are in a role where they must report to those governing the schools. And they are not the governing body. And if you look at the SGB training that they give, it's half a day of training. You can never equip SGBs in half a day about laws, yeah, policies.
So there's got to be a concerted effort by the department to upskill in places that are requiring those skills.
Definitely. Okay. In terms of the laws and policies, they need to do better. They need to do more.
Okay, well, let's watch them and let's call them out if they're not doing that, because it's futile if those SGBs are not sufficiently resourced and enabled to be able to look to do their job effectively. We're going to have to rest it there. As always, thank you, Vanessa LaRue, Parents for Equal Education. We get a sense of both sides of the fence from her. 9:57. High class, maybe Minister Pandor could call her friends in Tehran and ask for clemency for the rapper. It's unbelievable the terrible friends South Africa has these days. I spoke about just amazing Persian women. Maybe you want to Google Artunis, A-R-T-U-N-I-S. One of the first female generals ever. She commanded she was a lieutenant commander under Cyrus the Great. Amazing Persian women. And a lot of